Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 302. It's September 13th, 2021. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. We are here to talk to you about the world of indie video games. Yeah, indie. That's right. Short for independent, which means
not
small
Indiana?
Teams. No, not Indiana. No EAs here. No, Activisions. No big corporate monster video game industry biz. We're talking about little teams of like five, six people, maybe two, maybe one. You never know. Little guys. They make the Kickstarters and the other stuff, and they bring the video games to you, and we talk about the damn thing. So sit back and relax and enjoy.
We pull for the little guys. We pull for the little guys.
We do. You know that Spirit Farer game that the Jotun people made?
Oh, yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah. Okay, I love that game. I played the crap out of that. Last was it on the Game Pass, I believe?
Still is, I think. I ended up playing it on Steam because it was on sale. I got it really cheap. And that's what it was. And I decided to play it again, so I'm playing it again. And that game is great, and I love every second of it. But I did want to say that if you want to really go deep on that thing, there's a full-length, I don't know how full-length is, half-an-hour documentary on the making of Spiritfarer on YouTube from The Guardian. And it's very good. It's just a great look into the into these creators and how they thought of their game and what they took from their other games that they learned from. They only made two before it, and this is like their big number three, And that thing's got like nothing but like rave reviews from everybody. I don't think anyone doesn't like Spiritfarer. Yeah. So anyway,
it's hard not to love it. It's an easy to love kind of game. Yeah. I would love to watch this little documentary.
It's very good.
Micro
you should check
doc.
It out. Yeah. It's a micro. It's not very long. It's something you can totally watch without too much trouble. It's not going to break with ads in the middle or any of that. You can just watch the damn thing. And then the other thing. Oh, excuse me. What I was going to say to you, Brian, was, Matrix 4 trailer dropped, and everybody freaked out, and we're all excited and whatever, or various levels of who cares to I'm excited. I happen to be excited. And it got me to thinking about all the old video games and the fact that, this isn't a spoiler, but if you haven't watched the trailer, we get Neo, Trinity, and other familiar faces, but there's one dude missing, and it's Morpheus. He's not around. We don't know why. Yeah. Where's Lawrence Fishburne? Yeah. But I know why, and it was confirmed that they are adhering to, they consider the Matrix Online, the MMO, the failed MMO, the Matrix Online, they consider that thing canon. So,
what?
Oh, yeah. Anything that happened in there on the macro story level is canon to them. And I don't know if anyone played that game, but Morpheus done bit the dust in that game.
That is fantastic. I love that they own that. Man, I loved the Matrix Path of Neo.
Tell me about this, because this is I forgot about this game. Who made that, and why did we? Was it PlayStation 2?
It was for the PlayStation 2. Also went to the PC. Shiny Entertainment was the driving force during this time. I think 2003, 2004, 2005. I think that was the first Matrix game. This was the second the Matrix game. Path of Neo was better because you actually got to play as Neo.
Right.
And I remember having very fond feelings for this game. So I was like, oh, maybe it's on good old games or something since it was on the PC. Couldn't find it anywhere. Totally abandoned. Fell through the cracks after Shiny Entertainment kind of fell apart or was sold off during that time frame.
The Earthworm Jim people, right?
If I remember right.
Yeah.
Right. And you can still pick up the PC version on Amazon and stuff, but man, that'd be kind of risky. Trying to run a 2005 game that you purchased off Amazon on a disc on your PC. Good luck.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't got that kind of time. I just want to just download it.
Yeah, download that shit and play it. I don't know I'm sure Path of Neo in some form is available, but probably you'd have to go through some real weird dark internet hoops to get it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize. Yes, there was plenty of places, abandonware aplenty, sites that I could download it from. I'm not doing that.
Want a little also, malware a little in your life? You
want some malware? I don't want those people who love the Matrix to be on my computer.
No.
Don't trust those guys at all.
No, they'd hack the shit out of things. Got to be careful. Mm-hmm. But been thinking a lot about that property, and I hope they pull it off and that movie isn't garbage. That would be the goal.
Yeah. I'm excited though that now that you told me about that Morpheus thing. I didn't realize that. I saw the trailer and I was like, hey, who's this guy?
There's a dude that looks like young Morpheus, which is all, there's a bunch of theories about this is actually a prequel, but nobody knows it because it's all just repeats itself over and over. And Neo's an old man.
There you go.
Yeah.
I still stopped questioning it because we already know that the Matrix has happened. You know, the idea of the Matrix and what's going on has happened. The construct has happened multiple times over and over again. Yeah. And Neo is multiple Neos. And so I'm fine with all that. I stopped immediately, put the brakes on it, said, I don't want to watch anymore. Spoilers.
Yeah.
I just want to go see the movie.
Yeah. When we see it, then we can have all our fun ideas in our heads about what we think is going on.
Right.
But that's what I like about the original anyway, was massive world building, amazing stuff. And then the two sequels are kind of a little bit of poo on a stick, but but that first one, man, it's a classic. It's a modern classic. Yeah. So
and it brought us Bullet Time, which is just a match made in heaven for video games.
Oh yeah.
I mean, anytime you need to like hit that slow mo button so you can do something that we couldn't physically probably do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your character to do.
Yeah, it was the first. Max Payne did that probably the most prominently when it came out, the original, and then. Lots of games since. I remember a John Woo game that had a cool, what was that called? It's like John Woo's Bullet Time or Bullet Fun.
John Woo's Bullet Time.
Bulletfreejohnwoo.com. I don't remember. It was a game for a while. Stranglehold, was it? That might have been
Stranglehold. That might be
They had all kinds of like go into an Asian Rangers. Market and then jump sideways and then blow a bunch of chickens up. It was great. Cool game.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Guys, buckle in. It's time for our weekly indie news. That's right. Let's find out what's coming out, what's already come out, and what might be coming out. For example, on the 9th, a brand new game launch called Webbed. This is from CS Bug Games, rather. They also published it and made it. Anyway, it was $10. It is $10. It's on Steam. Swing through the trees, spin sticky webs, and make friends with bugs. Be the adorable spider you've always wanted to be.
Oh, how'd you know?
This is an indie-based studio in Queensland, Australia. It's their very first game. Lead developer Riley Neville and level designer Noah Seymour. Sounds like a little 2-3-man joint. I love that. The game tells a story of a little happy spider on an adventure to save her boyfriend from a big, mean bower bird.
Oh,
yep, bower. Damn, like bower 24's Jack Bauer is after his girlfriend. It's 2D pixels, delightful little graphical game. And
yeah, side-scrolling physics pixel kind of adventure game.
Yeah, and it's out now. Overwhelmingly positive reviews, by the way, right now.
Yeah. Doug says it's like Spider-Man, except you're not a man. And Floating Goat says, you had me at laser spiders.
Wow.
And I agree with both of those Steam reviews. Thank you, Doug and Floating Goat.
That's amazing. I'm going to...
I believed it so much that I picked this up on the Humble Bundle. I got the discount. I think I paid $7.99 for it. Pretty good deal. I'm going to get a chance to play it hopefully this next week. Post up on YouTube.
This looks adorable. The trailer's got a giant scary bird in it, though, and I'm not sure.
Too scary for me.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary looking bird. He's about to eat a spider. No one wants spider. No one wants a bird. These spiders are kind of creepy.
They're the adorable spiders. What are those things called? Little fuzzy. What kind of spiders are they? Little fuzzy, big-eyed spiders everybody loves.
I think there's no actual thing as an adorable spider. I think you made that. I don't think that's...
Well, I know. I agree. But there's a whole people that are into these cute little wolf spiders. That's it.
Wolf spiders, little fuzzy ones. Yeah, you're right. But they're evil, just like all spiders. I just want to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
No, the game looks neat, though. And the web physics, it's like a 2D Spider-Man game, but with real spiders.
Yeah.
You know, who needs Marvel when you can just have spiders, I suppose. I might have to try this and play it. It's $10. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you play this? $10. That's nothing.
I killed a spider today.
Oh, you did?
I didn't want to. Yeah. I was out in the garage and I was bringing in something from the garage and I was like, I saw something on it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's a spider. It didn't look like it was a deadly spider, little gray or brownish spider. Didn't have any spots on it. So I just kind of swished him away because I like spiders. They kill the bugs. I'm like, here you go. Get out of here, buddy.
Sure.
He immediately hightailed it right back to the damn thing that I was carrying. I'm like, get out of here, man. I'm trying to save your life. If they see you inside, you're dead.
Oh, yeah, you'll die. Unless you live at my house and then Carter will save you with everything she's got. She'll do whatever it takes. My daughter will not let a spider die on her watch. Coming out this week, Flynn, Son of Crimson. Ooh. This sounds cool. Developer Studio Thunder Horse. Humble's doing it. They're publishing. This is a Steam and Xbox Game Pass Day One release. Flynn, you have to help Flynn and his mythical companion Dex save, what's the name? Rosanuncia?
Yeah, Rosanuncia?
Rosanuncia.
Rosantica.
Yeah, you got to do that before the evil scourge claims his home. In Flynn, son of Crimson, you will go on a journey of discovery and conflict as you learn to master the powers of Crimson Energy. It's a classic 2D action platformer. A bunch of characters in there. Lots for exploration. It seems pretty cool. I like games like this. And this is right. How much...
Is it Metroidvania, kind of, maybe? It looks like... I love the character design, though. Flynn.
They claim it's a 2D action adventure, but that totally could be Metroidvania.
Metroid. Look at the vanias in that Metroidvania.
Yeah, check out these big, thick vanias. I'm going to play that. If it's on Game Pass, may as well. Why not?
Yeah, just load it up. What do you do? Matter of fact, I'm going to turn my Xbox right now and see if I can preload that puppy because it comes out, what, tomorrow? What's it? Was it
15th, so 2 days.
15th.
Yeah.
2 days. Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. That's a weird day for a release, but whatever. They're indies. I don't care.
Yeah, okay. Whatever,
you know. Here's one, Skatebird. What you doing, Skatebird?
Now I'm excited about this one. Okay. I saw Skatebird a while back. Yeah.
All right. You and Skatebird are already friends. This is coming out on the 16th, published and developed by Glass Bottom Games. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes a Glass Bottom game, yo.
Yeah, Glass Bottom game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a bird on a skateboard. And
it's exactly what it is. It's a bird on a skateboard. He's got some sweet headphones on. I mean, if Tony Hawk had wings, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. It's basically what I'm looking at here. But everything's in a house. It's all like miniature stuff.
Yeah.
Not miniature, but it's
bird size.
Yeah, it's bird size.
You're a little tiny finch size bird. You're not like a big, a stork or nothing. You're a little house bird.
Right. And here he is in somebody's office. He's now on the main executive desk.
And he's rocking some 80s Humpty Hump style glasses with big nose. Yep. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
It's pretty good. It looks like a PS2 era game. Purpose, I think. I think they're aiming for that.
Intentionally.
There's a pizza box that goes up to the bed. That's pretty cool. Here's some flat screen TVs, though. I don't know who gave them authority to ride on those, but whatever.
Yeah, that's sure. Whatever. Come on.
It seems okay. I'd play this. Seems like a game that'd be kind of a fun kick in the pants.
well, why not? I mean, all you got to do is preload it because it's Xbox Game Pass Day One on Switch. It comes out the 16th. So, like you said, weird. Have one on the 15th and one on the 16th. Going to have a busy week for me.
People don't care, man.
On the Game Pass.
It's Thursday and Wednesday releases. Really weird. Eastward coming to the Switch and Steam. $22.49 is the price on this thing. Developed by Pixpill. Published by Chucklefish. They make some pretty good games or release some pretty good games.
I like Chucklefish.
Yeah, they're not bad. Welcome to the charming world of Eastward. Population declining. Journey through a society on the brink of collapse. Ooh, it sounds dark and forbidding.
It is dark. It is. You're going eastward.
Yeah,
you're not
west.
You're not exploring westward. You're
west
strike
is
eastward,
jerks.
Young man.
Yeah, look at that. Strike west. For some reason, I have all subtitles turned on.
I love that. Yeah, Nintendo, in case you can't hear the Nintendo snap, it goes snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a little subtitle for that.
Snap at the beginning. So let's see what we got. It looks like we got some train business. Again, you're not a bird this time. These are people.
No.
Okay.
you're more like little tiny chibi people.
I've seen this somewhere. Where have I seen this?
You probably had. It's all three of these games have been... We got a pretty good release this week. I had to narrow it down because there's some... A lot of these, you probably saw this during the summer of gaming a month or so back.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. I think I saw it and knew there was a demo, didn't play. But I was immediately interested because it looks like my jam, dude.
Yes, it does. Look at this art. It's very, it's a TV animation, kind of not really Rick and Morty, but it's a little bit of a pixel. It looks like something Rick and Morty would do for a pixel game.
Yeah,
like
or pixelated like... Wallace and Gromit kind of like British.
It is very it's got a different vibe to it, but I like it.
Oh, I like the look a lot. This little thing in the water here, that's awesome. Yeah. All right. Yeah, bring it on. This sounds neat. Still don't quite know what you do, but it seems like you you're
well, I trust Chucklefish. They haven't done me wrong yet, so we'll just have to see.
So some of these are animals. That guy behind the desk was like a big dog creature.
Yeah, he's anthropomorphic. You know what I can't say.
Anthropomorphic.
That,
you know, yeah. It's okay. It's a hard word. It's a rough one.
It is.
Yeah.
It looks like you get to ride in trains and do some cyber stuff, so that's kind of cool. I'm down with that.
Yeah, I'm in.
It looks like Pendleton Ward. That's probably more like what it is. It's more like a Pendleton Ward kind of.
Yeah, Pendleton Ward did something with pixels in it. It would be.
Yeah, pixely.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks Micro Machines, says the chat. That's weird. They might be
Tony Hanks Micro Machines.
Oh, Tony Hanks.
Tony Hanks.
Oh, they were talking about the bird. Got it.
Yeah. That too. That bird's going to be great. Yeah. But Eastward. Yeah, I can't wait for both. Yeah. It's going to be on the Switch. It's going to be on Steam for $22.49. You might have said that, but it's probably about the same price on Switch. And I'm going to have to go Switch on this one.
I'll bet you Switch is $24.99. They usually are.
Because I think the $22.49 is the 10% off a lot of games start at, indie games especially, on the Steam. They usually get 10% off. Yeah.
You like Steam.
I don't like Steam.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
I love Steam.
You love Steam. I forget. You love
Steam. I have no opinion on Steam.
Oh, wow.
Clip that. Yeah.
Play that instead then. All right. Well done. Now this. Oh, the games we played. Quick note, though. This show, The Boop Show, we're all about indies here, but we're part of a triumvirate of Frogpants shows that focus on video gaming entirely. Those shows being Boop, of course, the core show, which happens on Thursdays and covers the wider industry, and The Instance, which is a big focus on big, fat topics. And we do those each and every week over there. If you want to learn more, go to frogpantsplays.com and see.
So we got indie, then you got bigger. No, you said wide.
Indie,
so
wide, and let's call it philosophical now. Since The Instance is no longer like, hey, we're playing World of Warcraft, we talk about big issues like, hey, what's going on with free to play at this stage of the thing? Are we sick of it? Is it working? Did they find a way? What about, no one plays Sea of Thieves, or we thought Sea of Thieves was dead, but instead it's never been bigger. Why is that? Let's take a deeper dive.
So it's kind of like a narrower focus with topics, but a longer maybe discussion. Is that kind of what you're talking
one,
about?
One topic, big giant discussion around it.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. So it's like running an instance.
It's just like that. We're done. We'd mentioned this. We announced this long before the Blizzard troubles, but we were changing things up, and now we've really done it.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to my game of the week. This game I've been playing quite a bit of, and I've gotten a couple other people hooked on it accidentally. All I had to do was mention that I'm playing, and they were like, wait, what is that? How does that even work? And then they went and tried it themselves, and now they're totally hooked on it. My son-in-law, for example, can't get enough of it. The game is Car Mechanic Simulator 2021.
Oh, I want this. This is on my wish list.
This came via Red Dot Games. They sent me, the publisher Playway SA sent me a code, so big thanks to them for that. Car Mechanic Simulator, if you've heard of the 2018 rendition of the game, then you're in the right neighborhood here. It's the same team, same folks building out a new game. And it is a... it is what you think it is. It is 100% another in the line of car mechanic simulator games. I guess this is now the second. The big difference between this and 2018's, and I'll get to that in a minute, because you know one of the hard things about these kinds of games is what are you really going to do to make the new one new and the old one seem old? And in a lot of ways,
because they've got a community built around this 2018. So I mean, they've been actively players for quite a while.
Yeah, for sure. And you have to convince that player base that this is a good enough upgrade to spend the 25 bucks and do it, which I think could be a little tricky. But the game is the biggest difference, I think, the biggest noticeable difference is the graphical stuff has been completely overhauled and everything looks real good on a good video card. Little choppy on lower end systems, but if you got a good video card, you know, something in the last few years, especially something newer than that even, this thing runs as smooth as butter and you never have a hitch, and it's really pretty. Every car looks like it's like the car down to the freaking stickers. All the parts, all the engine stuff, all the undercarriage, all the rust, everything's just detailed.
You've been checking out the undercarriage, have you?
Yeah, baby. Get over here and let me see your car chode, I guess it would be, right?
Your car chode.
Would it be your car chode? It would be. right?
I guess that would, or car taint, maybe?
Car taint, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so when you go into the place, say, yeah, what do you like done? Oh, I'd like to get the car taint, and they'll say, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
No, paint. I said paint. I said paint.
Taint.
Not taint. Anyway, you just saw in the video there, Steve's refilling his fluids. This is a tutorial mode, and that's why the whole room is whited out, almost like it's been painted white.
Yeah, like that.
Normally it's
that feels very Matrix-y, right?
It feels for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're in Tron.
Your license plate says tutorial, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, in case that wasn't clear.
There's the car taint right there. Yeah.
I'm going to skip ahead. Okay, here we go. So now we got a car out front of your garage, a whole bunch of them, a beat up one, a shitty one. As you can see, you have tools to start taking stuff off already. You can redo everything. There's a paint room. There's a room that checks your aerodynamics. There's a place where you can test your shocks and make sure your alignment's good and your tires are rotated. And all these tools and rooms and things that you unlock in the game are there for the taking. Now, you have a big, long campaign mode where you do all of this stuff kind of meticulously, car by car, and you build your business. You're making money. You order a bunch of parts, you fix that guy's car, he pays you $5,000, you walk, now you have an extra $5,000 towards your next upgrade.
This is so unrealistic. Every mechanic I know is like, always like failing.
They're always barely hanging on, yeah.
It's like, I'm just barely making it, man.
Yeah.
I'm barely making it. What do you want from me?
There is a bit of that. Plus, you're not having to haggle with idiots and all those things. You just have the job, and if you do the job, you get the money. So they've really simplified that, obviously, but... There's even like, oh, I'm going to go to this car auction out in the desert and I'm going to buy this sports car and it's just beat to shit and was in a crime even and it's super cheap.
Oh, is it kind of like, it's kind of like barn finds?
Kind of,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is kind of like that. So you sit in them and you decide, well, I think I will take this car back. And you take the car back and you kind of check it out and then you figure out what parts you're going to need and you order those parts and then you go and get under the damn thing, put it on a rack, raise it up, start installing stuff. And you always have kind of a checklist of what you need to do. So you're never just like, stuck in the with a giant list of things that you don't know what they are. I will say this, though. This is the thing I really ran into early. Oh, here's the finished shop. So you can see how pretty it is. It's very nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. The game, I think, is best played by people who are heavy, hardcore car enthusiasts.
You need to be a car enthusiast to maximum effect.
I'll say this, you don't need to be, but you will probably love this more because you've already got a lot of that knowledge. Like, you know where the weird alternator is, you know that these three spark plugs are funky on a Porsche and not on a regular car, you know that like a 1984 Lincoln Town
car. So some car knowledge would help, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100% true. And there are a lot of cars in here that aren't even branded. They're not even like actual cars from
I was going to say, because that one you looked at earlier was like, it says something weird in front of it, like a Ford Focus or something. I couldn't tell what it was, but
they have some generics, but they also have DLC and packs and also workshop support in Steam where everybody's making everything and it's all real.
And that's where the community really thrives. And that was the community they had to convince for this new car mechanic simulator, because it's much beloved.
Yeah, it's an odd thing. And there's plenty of games like this, like, I would put this in any of the mechanic simulator series. I played that mech game. We talked about that on the show. It's very similar to that. In fact, it's more that the mech game is a lot like the original car mechanic simulator in 2018. And a lot of other games have kind of riffed on it. So mechanically, the way these games work, let's say you get under the front suspension system of this car and it kind of grays out everything that you're not really looking at. And you'll see a fuel pump and you can click on it and the camera will kind of zoom to the fuel pump. And then if you want to take the fuel pump off, you can do that with a regular click and then switch back to assemble mode and put a new pump back. Like they simplify that stuff. So it's nice and gamified. You don't have to be some kind of freaky expert on the mechanics of it. You just kind of have to know where shit is. Cause sometimes I'll get in the car and go, well, this says I'm supposed to replace a rubber grommet with a ding dong fling flang and it's some car from the 40s and I don't know where it goes, and so I don't know where I'm even looking. And so I called my son-in-law, like, where is this thing? He goes, oh, in that car that old, it's in the rear. And I'm like, who knew that? I don't know that.
You gotta look in the rear. I told him to look in the rear.
They have some color coding and stuff to help idiots like me, but I'm just not like a genius with it.
Yeah, these are real hot right now, all these simulators that function somewhat in this fashion are really hot. I'm especially in the indie scene. I see these things popping up all the time.
Yeah, these are, we call them chore core. They're just, they're job simulators. Yeah. And they, you know, the power wash one is a favorite of mine. I like the mowing one.
Yeah. I saw something fly through the chat room earlier, and they got your number there, man. They said, it sounds like Scott needs to get a real job.
I mean, it is kind of funny how I'm drawn to these, and these are things I would not want to do in real life. Like the mowing, my wife just laughs at me all the time because I don't want to mow lawns. I don't want to do that.
But heck no, man. That's the, it's hot. If I could mow the lawn with a set of, you know, some VR glasses on, I'd do it every day.
Yeah, right? So there's something to that. Like you just, you gamify regular day-to-day mundane tasks, and there's something fun about it.
Yeah, because there's nothing not fun about, you know, cutting grass, except for the part where you got to sweat, you got to go out and get the stupid lawnmower started. Of course, it doesn't start, and you realize, oh, I got to replace the spark plug, and I don't want to play that game. That game's no fun.
Or if you hit a turd, you might hit a turd. You know,
yeah,
I've done that before when I used to mow lawns for you know, whatever reason.
I always love when I will tell you this, when I cut the grass, always I like a riding lawnmower. Don't always get to do that.
Yeah.
But when I do, it always seems it's a frog, and it always seems like slow motion Austin Powers trying to avoid it, and you just can't. It's just like, it's worse than squirrels and cars.
Yeah.
It's frogs and lawnmowers. You just can't. You try to swerve, but it's just too late.
Yeah, it's too late. You're going to hit that squirrel. He's dead. It's an odd thing. And if you play 2018, you know exactly what you're getting into here. It's more of that. It's a little, it's more detailed. It's more graphically intense. There's a lot more going on, and there's more to the campaign, more stuff to buy, more advanced tools to use, this sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still kind of that game. And so if you are very perfectly happy with whatever zen you're getting out of your 2018, keep that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh, but the video on screen was showing the dipstick get right in your face. It was a little bit.
Oh, they do that all the time. It looked like a wiener. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They have a machine that pumps fluids out of things like brake fluid. So you can,
That's a penis.
Yeah. It looks like a penis. It's totally does.
Right. Go ahead.
Anyway. So yeah, I think it's a very good one of these. It's a lot like 2018. So I can't honestly say it's not light years away from that game. It's quite a bit like it. If you're already happy there, chances are you'll be good. And that thing's on sale for like $8, and maybe that's where you should go. It's not that old of a game anyway. But if you're buying fresh or you're a huge fan of the series, this is definitely an upgrade and a pretty rad take on the genre. So grab it.
Now they're showing us a pump.
Yeah, they are. Did you see that pump? Pump your junk. Junk pump.
Right.
I'm going to say that, what was I going to say? I can't remember. No, I know. I'll tell you my pros. Here it is. Fun gamification. All right. Stuff you'd normally get all sweaty and greasy doing. You don't have to in this game environment. Think of it as like golf. You don't have to get sweaty and walk anywhere. You just play video game golf.
Right.
Simplified enough, in my opinion. And there's lots of modes, plenty to play. The cons, again, not a gigantic leap from 2018. It's a little hard on lower end systems. Fine on console. My son-in-law is playing it on Xbox. No problem. Been fine for him. But if you're running an older PC or something, this version may be a little taxing. And it's kind of just a big puzzle if you're not a car person or if you're very car savvy. Right. If you just don't understand the guts of what makes a car run. And I don't just mean like an old combustion system and the brakes and the brake pads and all that stuff. I'm talking like some of these cars have really advanced computer systems. You have to replace those and figure out how they're wired and not figure it out. But you just, there's a lot of other stuff going on here that you may not be that familiar with the geography of the of the guts of a car like this.
It would probably cause enough confusion that it would take the joy out of the game.
Yes. And I'm glad that they made it less confusing, not more, because then it would be this be really impenetrable for people who don't follow cars. Overall, I'm going to give it a 7.5 rubber grommets out of 10. As you can tell, the rubber grommets gave me some real shit. I ended up buying too many, put the wrong ones in the wrong place. I had
your whole business model got sunk because you overordered grommets.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Now, some people, chat room in the, like, why not mother in the chat room says, can think of very few things more boring than this game. No, I get it. It's not for everyone, but it's clearly for somebody because there's a lot of people buying these. So
don't
be too quick to judge. I think there's probably one of these out there for you. I mean, if I had my druthers, the game I would like most like to play in this sort of general area is that Shipbreaker game, because I like a little fantasy and sci-fi in my world, and I like a little bit of, you know, not normal, just cars, for example. I like tearing like big ships apart, or the mech one was really cool because I was working on mech parts that don't really exist, and you know, that's
isn't
more
weird,
my style.
I mean,
but
we're always jonesing for the, well, not everybody, but some people are always jonesing for the opposite of what you're getting in real life. We're not getting a lot of normalcy right now. And this is about as normal as you could get, right? Just bland, average, do a thing, F the world.
Yeah. But it also, it knows what a video game needs to be, which is it's full of progression. Like, do this and you can afford a second bay. Do this and the tires are going to be cheaper because you get a deal with the guy up the road.
That's right.
Or whatever. Like all of these like gamified things that we all do with other games, RPGs or whatever. You're always trying to level something up, get a better version, max this and min that. These games have that. And that's why they're games. Like they're
did you ever forget to tighten the lug nuts and send somebody out to their death?
Well, you can always tell if you've effed up because it'll tell you that something's not right before you ship it out. So you can always kind of go back and figure out what the hell you did wrong, or like one time I left a brake pad off, I think, or something. And so this car was going to roll out of here with brake pads, but unlike real life, I caught it
on fire.
On fire. Anyway, it's pretty cool. I recommend it. Red Dot Games, Playway SA is the publisher, and it came out on the 8th or the 11th rather. $24.99, available now. Car Mechanic Simulator. Brian, tell me all about.
I like it.
Lake
the game. Good luck trying to find that in Google. Lake. You won't get nothing. All right. The year is 1986, and I just completed a huge project for the company I work for in the big city, and it's time to head back to my small community town on a lake community, which I can relate to. It's in Oregon. I live in an area that's mostly surrounding, you know, it's a lake. It really spoke to me until I realized I was going back home away from my tech job to deliver the mail. You finished a big project in town. You're going back home for a few weeks on your vacation. And for some reason you get hoodwinked into delivering the mail, I suppose, because that was the family business. Your dad always delivered the mail, but now he's retired and him and mom are off somewhere. And so you're at home taking care of business.
Yep.
And the only way you know how, which is totally illegal.
And by the way, don't think you're getting into some weird northwestern town with strange happenings and there's ghosts maybe, or, you know, any kind of like.
Right. Well, there's ghosts. Shit. There's ghost blasters. It's everywhere.
Well, yeah. But the idea is like, you know, when I first saw this, I thought, oh, are they going to go full like what's the David Lynch thing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what everybody thinks. They're thinking of going the David Lynch route and they don't.
I can't think of what that is. What's that called? What's the David Lynch show?
I don't know. What's it called? It's from the you know,
Twin Peaks. Good Lord!
That was too short.
Yeah,
I was hoping you would say something stupid. It has this Twin Peaks vibe to it. You feel like that's going to happen, and that's like one of the more disappointing things. I haven't played all the way through. The game's only 6 to 8 hours. I've finished most of my 2 week little break, and at the end of that break, according to the game, I'm supposed to be able to make some decisions, some big life decisions. And this game is all about choices. It's all story driven, all about choices mixed in with delivering the mail as a third person.
Yeah, you deliver the mail, and then those mail deliveries, I played the demo, the mail deliveries turn into you talking to somebody behind the counter at the whatever store.
Yes.
And then they're like,
the video rental store, this 1986.
Yep. Yep. So there's a lot of that. And then they tell you like, oh, you're, you know, your old uncle, his bones are in the backyard or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
it's like always right on the cusp of that kind of thing. Everybody has a different personality. And of course, those decisions and conversation choices you make will impact your relationship in this small town. You know, since it's a small town, everybody's, you know, connected. So if you F up here, you'll hear about it the next day at the diner.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're making all these choices with relationships and also with getting suckered into, you know, doing other people's biddings. Like there's all these side jobs you can end up doing while delivering the mail. It's like, oh, why are you delivering the mail? How about, can you do this for me while you're doing it? And you're like, I don't know, man, that really feels illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt almost at first that you kind of, maybe I'm so primed for GTA type action when I play these types of games that visually look like this, when not necessarily gritty, but visually where you're hopping into the car and you're, you know, you're trailing behind it. I kept thinking I could run over the community members. So I was real careful because I was like, oh no, that's really going to hurt my community standing.
They don't let you do much of that stuff. Yeah. It's pretty,
you can't do none of that. You can't, you can't run into cars or anything. We can, but you just bump into them. Yeah, nothing happens. Matter of fact, there's a cop. There's a cop, right? I ran into somebody. I was a cop right behind him. He just looked at me like, sup.
What's going on? Small town.
Yeah. I just nailed them with my my delivery van, and I was, this really looks like a USPS old school 80s style truck you're driving too, by the way.
No
car mechanic that you're going to be playing in this game. You don't do none of that. There's actually a town mechanic. She's a young girl, and she's a little sassy, but she has a lot of great background story too. So it's a really chill game. You just get to go out there and meet people in the community. The crazy cat lady, Nancy, or as I call them, that's what we used to call Karens back in the day.
Yeah.
She's the Nancy of the town. And you're repairing some friendships that you may have abandoned when you moved to the city. So you're just really exploring Meredith's character and backstory and the community and getting to know everybody. And through that, making choices that sometimes kind of, it makes it feel like a real, you know, slice of life experience in a small town. Like, oops, I said the wrong thing. Yeah. Like, my worst mistake was I was trying to be friendly towards this lumberjack, and I'm Meredith. I'm playing as a girl, and I think I maybe came on too strong. Next thing I know, we're eating at the diner. I'm like, wait, how'd I get into these bad life choices?
Sure.
And so I felt really uncomfortable. I couldn't fast forward to the dialogues fast enough. Like, shut up, man. Stop.
Yeah, kind of what I wanted from this game when I first played it, and I guess I just had weird expectations. But I just wanted to have a mail delivery loop. Like, I wanted to have right, I'm taking these 5 packages today, and I'm going to earn all this shit, and then I've got more money when I'm done, and then the next day do it again. Like, I was kind of looking for that loop, and it's not that at all. It's just
But it is one of the most. Okay, so the gimmick that gets you in is the mail delivery. You do that every day for the 2 weeks you're there.
Yeah.
You know, you get a little mini map, pops up. You have to know where to deliver it. You have to deliver mail to some places and then packages to other places. And it's weird because it's the 80s. So instead of like dropping off a package at the door and running, you have to ring the doorbell and wait for the person to come. And they'll come and go, hey, what's it going? And you have to hand it to them and stuff. And then you have to have like dialogue with them. That's
did they
weird.
Do that?
Maybe they're not home sometimes.
What happened in the 80s? I don't remember. Did people bring mail to my house and hand it to my mom? Like, how did it go? I don't know.
Well, not the mail, but like packages and stuff. Yeah, you you delivered that crap. Yeah, okay. you rang doorbell and you didn't know it. No, like Porch Pirates packages where you left stuff on the, because you didn't get packages that often.
That's true. It's so different now. Yeah.
Yeah. You get a package every once in a blue moon. Maybe it wouldn't even happen. Sometimes you get a phone call. And they'd say, we got your package up here at the post office, little Lake Town.
Yeah.
But
kind of an old way of looking at it. The chat room's piling on me hard about games like this. I don't know why. they think it's hilarious that I want to play job games. I don't necessarily. Yeah. I just think this is an interesting genre. It's not what I spend all my time on. I'm playing mostly a fantasy RPG right now that's got nothing to do with indies. But it's fine. Look at this. She's got this stuffed bear she's got to drop off at the diner. Oh, the diner lady. She drove me crazy in the demo.
Yeah. The diner lady is funny. They're always trying. Okay, so there's some weird things that happen in this game that they keep referencing things, and you keep going, okay, this is about to get weird. And I never got, it never got super weird. It got uncomfortable at times, but that was just because, you know, character interactions. But I kept waiting for something weird to happen.
Yeah.
Like you said, Twin Peaks, like weird.
Yeah,
it hasn't happened yet.
I don't think it ever does. My understanding is they've stayed completely away from that, which bums me out. That would be more interesting to me, and I would be in it long term if I was unearthing a bunch of mysteries and, you know, solving a case or something, you know.
Right. And right now, the developer Gameius, publisher Whitehorn Digital and Gameius as well, have put this out on the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and on Steam, which I received a game code for this, by the way. Came out the first of the month. And it takes about 6 to 8 hours to beat is $20 on Steam right now, and I think as well as the other two platforms. And you can pick it up on Fanatical, which I do quite often. They have a lot of indie games, indie game bundles. Got a great indie game bundle going on right now. Mm-hmm. But this is $16.99 there. You can grab that game code. The art style is interesting choice. Mm-hmm. I think it fit with the mood of what was going on. I liked it. I didn't listen to the music at all because Gameus, the developers, were nice enough to do something which I wish all game developers who expect or assume that people are going to stream the games, if you have copyrighted music that you haven't extended to, you know, to complete ownership, that gets us streamers copyright strikes. So we appreciate it when a game developer has very clearly says, hey,
yeah, don't stream this,
play this
game.
Music. Yeah, or if you play this music on the stream, you might get hit. You can send us a request, and we'll make sure that you don't, you know, that it's rectified. And I was like, oh, but I appreciate it because I'm like, I just won't run the music because it's like a radio. Nice.
Yeah, I wish more did that. A lot are doing that now, but I wish more did.
Yeah. So it's got like a GTA kind of style radio in the van, which is kind of fun, you know, little music and stuff. But yeah.
You get any talk shows from the 80s? You get anybody going? Satanic Panic, is it real? Is Paul McCartney dead?
You do kind of get some of those things, but it's mostly about things that happened in town to people that you've seen, and sometimes even about you. Like maybe you've done something, and it's kind of fun, but you actually do end up running into the local radio DJ at his house. So he's an interesting character. But yeah. I'm going to give this game some pros real quick. Compelling storytelling. I got into this game for the mail delivery, but I probably stayed for the storytelling because I don't know how long I would have delivered the mail otherwise. So it makes since the compelling storytelling is there, it really makes you feel like your choices have meaning.
Here's some talk on it. Let's
start. Yeah, do some talk.
Came home and was wondering if everything worked out all right.
Hi, Steve. Yes, we made the deadline.
Oh, that's awesome. I feel so bad you couldn't make it.
Hope you guys had a nice Labor Day party.
Oh, yes. I mean, the band was great, and Mike fell in the pool.
This is the weird problem I have with the game. It is slice of life. It is just like people having a conversation, a relationship, or whatever. I'm always on edge going, yeah, but where's the dead body? You know what I mean?
Exactly. When's the other shoe going to drop? When am I getting fired? When is that inciting incident that we're used to in movies? Because there's got to be that inciting incident, right? The thing that like really lights the fire of the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And it really never really happens as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
Another pro is it makes delivering mail seem like fun. I didn't know if I would like the delivering the mail, but there's just enough that it seems like fun. And some nostalgia hit. If you're looking for some 80s nostalgia, this is not real heavy deep into it, but you do get like pants with tight rolls and, you know, and other little, you know, like video stores and VCRs that you get to deliver with tapes. And, oh, they got a really good sense of humor in this world with pseudo movie names from the 80s and stuff. Those are a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy that.
Did you ever get a dog chase you because you're the mailman, mail lady?
I didn't, but there's a very central character, a cat lady, very central to a lot of the story.
Yeah.
But no dogs yet, but I haven't quite finished it either. So I'm about 3/4 of the way through, and we'll see if we can finish this out this week.
Okay.
Some cons, no functional difference between walk and walk a little bit faster. I mean, there's like, I got excited because everywhere I was walking, it was like super slow. I was like, oh God, okay. I don't want this. I don't want the pace to be slow because I have to walk slow. And so I was excited when it said, now you can run. I'm like, okay, dude.
It's not much of a difference. Run. Yeah.
There's no difference. Yeah. I don't know if she's got a crap in her pants or what, but she ain't walking any faster.
Have you played Phantasmophobia? That game's got a walk mode or a run mode that's worthless. Worthless.
Yes, worthless.
Which is, I get it because it's a scary game and you're supposed to not be able to get out of there too fast, but still, it just annoys me.
It's like a nightmare because I can kind of deal with that because it's like, oh, yeah, that's like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because in nightmares, you can't run fast because in reality, you're trying to run with sheets on your legs. This is not happening.
No. This lady with the cats, the cat lady, I can smell the pee on her. Go ahead.
Oh, God, yes. This is the cat lady.
Yeah.
And I tried to be nice to her.
Yeah.
Don't
but,
bother.
But you know she can smell pee. As soon as she gets up to the door, she smells pee. Just massive amounts of urine everywhere.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, it's everywhere. It's the worst. Yeah. Oh, God, this lady. This lady gives me nightmares.
Yeah.
And also, not a lot of depth and consequences, so every choice is kind of a safe choice. Every time I would try to risk something that was kind of risky, the outcome was always like, oh, well, that wasn't very exciting. I guess that's life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to give this game, Lake the Game, on Steam, PS4 and Switch. I'm going to give it 7 bad life choices out of 10 nostalgic memories.
Oh, because that's
it did give me a few little cozy feelings and stuff.
But yeah. This is one of the ones from that demo period, the Steam summer thing, where I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to play that game. And now I'm like, oh, that's what this is. Well, this may not be for me. It's for somebody, but I don't know if it's for me. I need a dead body, right, in the river. I need a weird mare that's like acting funny. You know, I needed something like that.
Right. Well, okay. I don't want to say that there's nothing exciting that happens, because there is some people who have some gambling problems. Let's just say the post office, the federal post office calls me at some point in time to ask me some questions, leaves me a message. There's some ratchet there. It can get intense, and there's some quirky, all the characters are really quirky, and it's a lot of fun. I think you would enjoy it. Like I said, 6 to 8 hours. Meh.
Yeah.
But you may have gotten all you needed to out of the demo. I'm not sure.
I might have. I enjoyed my time in there. I just didn't feel compelled to buy the whole thing after, which I don't, you know, that's a me thing. Doesn't mean that other people won't like it. So check it out. All right. Well done, everybody. Now this.
It's a me mod.
Oh, yeah. Time to play Guess My Game, where both of us brought a game from yesteryear of some time, and we play audio from that game, and then the other person tries to guess what the hell that game is. And today's no different. I'm going to start with mine.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to do what I do every week, which is go, oh, crap, what did I put in here? Because I only put that hint in there, and I'm like...
What did you
go look it up?
Where did you? Oh, I didn't even put my hint in. I'm going to put it in now.
Yeah,
mine is 1993.
Nice.
Arcade.
Mine was 1994.
Oh.
Platformer.
Is it also an arcade?
I remember what it is. A platform.
Oh, a platform.
Platforming. But,
oh, you mean a game on a console?
Console. Right.
On a platform. I don't know why that made me laugh. All
on
right.
a pedestal.
On a pedestal. I'm going to play mine. You see if you can figure this out. Again, Arcade 93 chat room. You can play along. Brian, don't look at the chat room. Here you go.
There you go. Oh. Is this Rambo?
Oh, no. This will help, this part.
Is this Lo Wang?
This is not Lo Wang. Okay, now here's an action. Here's the gameplay.
This is very familiar. 94, you said?
93. Now, the truth is, its sequel, this is the first in the series, the sequel was more popular. Okay. Now, on the other hand, I'll give you is it sounded a little.
I know it's not right, but I keep wanting to go Shadow Warrior.
Not Shadow Warrior.
I know it's not, but
it's very Japanese themed.
You think?
Chat room got it.
All right.
Any guesses? Anything at all?
I don't. This feels familiar, but not like intimate. It feels like I've at least seen it, but I don't feel like I've played it.
Well, this game, ate a lot of my quarters at the time.
Right. You said it's arcade. Like I said, it sounds very familiar. It sounds like it's probably a game I walked by many times, but never actually played. So those are always a little tougher for me.
Yeah.
It's
a fighting game. I'll give you that. It
definitely sounds like a fighter game. Yep. I'm going to go with...
kind of non-conventional fighting game, though. I would say.
Oh, interesting. Now, what kind of graphics was it? Was it like Mortal Kombat type?
It's like 16-bit looking. Maybe kind of. We were right in the middle of that like 8-bit to 16-bit transition in arcades, anyway, and they started to look a little better than home stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go with not Shinobi 64.
You are incorrect. The answer. Oh, I got to play. The answer is Samurai Showdown, the original from 1993.
Oh, yes. I can see the cabinet now.
Neo Geo classic. Now, the Samurai Showdown 2 was the one that really sunk its teeth into me and was like the better game. But one was, you know, one, like any first game, it was a big deal. Like Street Fighter has kind of a similar lineage. Street Fighter 1 is kind of garbage, but Street Fighter 2 is like what started it all. Like Street Fighter 2 just destroyed fighting games forever, and it's still an amazing game. That's kind of how Samurai Showdown worked as well. The first one was kind of meh. Second one was like, oh,
this is the stuff. Now, I've never noticed that it's Showdown with no W. Is that... that clever.
It's just their clever little dumb thing. Yeah. It's pretty clever. Dumb. I'm going to call it dumb. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, whatever. I like it. Yeah, I remember this game. I can see the arcade. I can see this thing.
Yeah, you can picture it now, right? Some 90s ass 90s business going on there.
Yeah. I never played this one. I might have played the first one.
Well, this is the first one, but
it's the first one that you played? Okay.
Yeah. The game we're talking about here is the first one, but the second one.
Okay. Yeah.
The second one's more likely what you played, is my guess, because that game is better.
You would think so, but the two doesn't look as familiar as one does.
Well, two definitely got way more stylized. Like the hair got crazy on these characters, and
as they always do, it's like how can we make our Tekken hair a little bit more Tekken?
Yeah,
let's go crazy.
And Sharon was right. The weird zooming in and out was really cool. It kind of created this, like, I don't know, it's a very different kind of fighting game. I think Samurai Showdown just holds up. It's rad. And yeah, I think the remake is out on something. Maybe Good Game Pass. Pick. I think it's a Game Pass game. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me see. Showdown Remaster. This was on... It's on Series X and PS5, is it? Or is it just Series X? Oh, yeah, it is on Series X. It's called Samurai Showdown Special Edition. And it's on... looks like it's on Game Pass. I should just play that.
Oh, yeah. I've actually... Oh, geez. Oh, wait. You know what? I actually think I've gotten this version on the Stadia. I think that was like one of the games they gave us free, I think, if I remember correctly.
This is a new... This is a new game.
Yeah, it's very new.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Stadia. That looks cool. I'm playing this later. Yeah. This looks rad.
Yeah, I think that was on my Stadia. I played it for half a minute, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember these games. I'm like, I don't feel like this right now.
Because now they're polygonal, but in the game, you're playing on a 2D. It's like the new Street Fighters, like that.
Yeah, exactly.
In Japan, it's called The Last Blade, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Why are they speaking English?
I don't know. Are they? I don't know.
Are you saying the translation of the English of the Japanese of the Samurai Showdown is what you just said?
I guess so. I don't know what I said. Yeah. Who knows what I said? But I know this. You've also got a file here I'm going to play, and I'm going to see if I can guess it. All right.
The year was 1994, and it was on a platformer.
It was on a platformer. Great.
I'm just kidding. It wasn't. It wasn't even on a console. I might have been. Yo, wait a minute. Let me back up. Let me just say, clear everything. Strike everything that I've said.
Bloop.
Just know that the year was 1994.
That's all we're going to say. Okay. I've stricken all the other stuff from the record, and I'm now only paying attention to that. All right. Here you go. Idea.
This is late game stuff too, by the way.
This is later in the game.
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. This is a boss fight. That's a boss fight. How's that? Happen?
This right here. Is that a boss fight?
Yeah. All the audio I captured was from boss fights.
I have no idea what this is.
It is a Nintendo game.
Okay,
from Nintendo 1994.
Nintendo published game?
Developed and published by Nintendo.
That wasn't Donkey Kong Country.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
that. Wow, like that. I would have thought you would have gotten this. This is like, I thought this was going to be easy. Interesting. I didn't really play this one that much. I think Andrew had it later on the SP. And it was not originally for the SP, I don't believe. No. As a matter of fact, it was definitely not.
So
you want another hint?
SP being GBA cartridge, right?
That's what those are. Correct. But I don't think it was advanced though.
Maybe the SPs were just GBA players. They just were different.
Right. This was released in 1994. So we're talking Game Boy.
Yeah. Cause I was going to say this, the chiptunes here are very, very much not right. A 16-bit GBA kind of experience.
Do you surrender? Do you submit, sir?
I don't know what it is. I give up. What is it?
Wario Land Super Mario Land 3.
Oh, shit. I love Wario. Why would I not? I just got the new Wario thing. The new brand new Wario Ware game.
That's what I was thinking about it. And I was thinking, Scott's going to guess this in the first 2 seconds. But maybe it's because it went to the boss fights. I don't know.
That's too bad. Yeah, I don't remember that. But I do remember that game being good. I played that game. That one baffled me. I could not think of it. Well, I don't feel bad then because both of us did the
now
big,
the, both did and the stinker. And the chat room didn't even come close.
Oh, where
no,
this, let me go
no,
back
no
to
guess
that.
At all.
They had said, oh, yeah, nothing.
Earthbound, yeah.
Definitely Super not Earthbound.
Sharp, Donkey Kong, yeah.
Deep cut, says Humble Beevil. I mean, yeah, but I don't know if it's that deep of a cut. I mean, it is if you're, that was a long time ago, I guess. It's sort of a deep cut, but.
Right.
All right. Well, well done. Neither of us walk away victorious. We both are losers now. And
that's okay.
It feels great.
I say that we're winners.
Are we winners?
Yeah. Well, because we can't both be losers both times because I beat you at tricking you about the Wario and you tricked me about the other. So
yeah,
both
but there's
won.
Only one chicken dinner. Who gets the chicken dinner? Winner,
Wario.
Winner, chicken. Oh,
right.
Okay. Wario,
Wario gets the chicken dinner. Yeah.
Am I going to get the chicken dinner? I'd say. He's such a dick. All right. Let's get to the emails this week. Email, rather. I got one here from Richard, who wrote in and said, this is great. He just gave us a big list of recommended games. Okay?
Ooh.
So I like this. I'm going to read through these. Hello, Boop. I'm Underling's Shadow in the Twitch chat, and here are some Underling recommendations. Shadow. Yeah. So, Richard, if you're here today, I don't know if you are, but if you are, thank you for this. He says, future game show at Gamescom 2021 with Scott's two favorite Resident Evil Village voice actors doing it. He sent that just as a fun thing. That's not a game. First game, though, is Jupiter Moon's Mecha, a mecha-style card game. Sign me up. I'm in.
You know we love the mechas.
Actually, I need to look at this. Let me see this thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Rockin' Bush is the developer. You can actually, there's a demo. We can hit that demo up on that one. Yeah.
Did you say Rockin' Bush? Is that what you said?
Rockin' Bush, baby. Rock and bushes.
Choose your mech, customize your loadout, build your perfect deck, experiment with cards, and find powerful combinations. You enjoy tactical combat deck building in this roguelike adventure. I'm all in
on
this shit.
Don't experiment with cards, you bunch of Terra Satan worshiping.
No,
freaks.
I'm in. Sign me up. This is my jam. Oh, my Lord. I want this. When's this happening? Yeah. Is this out?
No, coming not yet. Soon? These are all far in the future. Well, maybe next year.
Oh, it says before next Jovian year. What the hell's that mean?
Yeah. Jovian year, man. You know. Yeah. Right. The thing that I don't know either. So,
I'm downloading that demo after the show. I want to play that. That looks
it's
awesome.
At least got a demo, so that's good.
That is good. We got Australian post-apocalyptic adventure game.
This is on my wish list.
Broken Roads.
It's a Team 17 jam.
Yeah, Broken Roads. I think we talked about this a little.
I'm not sure if we have or not, but it is on my wish list, and I am looking forward to it. Broken Roads.
Broken Roads, available
Broken is a narrative-driven RPG that brings exploration, strategic turn-based combat, and meaningful philosophical choices to an all-new Australian post-apocalyptic setting.
Yep.
Post-apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic?
Apocalyptic.
I'm looking at some video here, and it looks like...
It looks like a Western, right?
Yeah. I'm in.
Looks like Quigley Down Under.
Well, no.
Meets meets Mad Max.
It looks like Mad Max, but in Australia, which is funny because that's where Mad Max happens. All right. this one, Terror of Hermaceros. He says it's like Rampage.
I tore my Hermaceros once and had to go see the doctor.
They take forever to heal. You got to be careful with those.
Yeah.
So this game looks like it's, it is like Rampage. Remember Rampage?
Oh, God. We talk about Jordan. I loved Rampage. I even liked that stupid movie Rampage that was basically not.
The Rock Rampage? I never saw
it. The Rock, yes. You never saw that? No. Oh.
Should we film sack that shit at some point? We should film sack that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
It looks like, this is totally that.
Yeah, it looks like somebody took a Reptar from the babies, Rugrats, and then made this.
This is a lot bloodier.
Oh wait, is it a, is there a sloth? Okay, so we got like some kind of Reptar and some kind of sloth thing.
Yeah,
and I don't know what that last one's a mecha. It looks like he's a mecha.
I'm glad this appears to be going places those old games never did. Then I'm here for it. This looks great.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Tearing down buildings, man.
Blasphemous. There's some Blasphemous DLC, and Blasphemous 2 is coming out. That was a cool game. Remember that? The first one, I mean?
I saw that was coming out. I'm very excited about Blasphemous. I got the alert on that because I do have the original in my library, and I'm very excited. Maybe one of the most excited I've been about.
Yeah, that's a really, really cool game, and this art seems really so solid. Rad this time. Look at this anime intro they made.
So good. They amped it up. Oh, my God. Look at those cutscenes in between.
And that guy in a stupid helmet. Oh, I love it.
God. Yeah. I want this to be a Netflix original. I think that's what they want. That's what they want. They want this to be a Netflix original animated. Yeah.
All right. Good luck, guys. Hope Conehead gets his own show. Let's see. PSVR. They're getting a game called The Last Video Store.
That sounds interesting.
It is. What is that? Hold on.
It's a VR last video store. I'm assuming that we're going to be
it's like a block booster. Let's see.
Yeah, I guess that's what you're doing. Like, but I live that. Well, but I'm like Scott. Right, I wouldn't mind reliving it.
Oh yeah. So I guess you. So what do? You just go in there.
You just stock the. You got to be kind and rewind. I guess you head on into the video store there and you work it, baby.
Oh, that's weird. I say that, but this looks like something I might play.
I'm gonna totally play this, man. Look at old Mac and me on the shelf. Oh, they got the real stuff. How did they do that?
What?
Oh, they picked really shitty movies that would never sue them. Okay,
yeah. Well, it's Sony, and probably Sony owns all the rights to this shit. So,
that's true. It's PSVR, isn't it? That's right.
So they probably can get away with like all the Sony picture stuff. I just saw Die Hard go by.
Yeah, I just took a big old look at that's the Blockbuster font. I just took a big old hit off the nostalgia pipe.
Yeah, big time. I hope everyone's going to get their third hand or their second hand smoke from me today. That was really good. And he says Super Animal Royale is now free for all.
Oh yeah.
What does that mean? Didn't we buy that? I think we own it. Don't we?
Yeah, me and you do, because we picked it up before it was free for all. But we played this game early access. We need to revisit this. It was really good.
I had the most fun in there. I think it may be my most fun experiences in a battle royale, because it's just such a different perspective on the game.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sick of battle royales generally, like the shooter ones. Don't really care about them.
Yeah.
But running around with like a stupid animal blowing people up, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Cute little chibi animals just blowing stuff up top down.
Yeah. That's cool.
More like a three-quarter view. But
yeah, there it is. Play for free. And then they got a bunch of add-on biz.
Yeah, content's where they're making their money, baby. Those season passes, that's what you do with battle royales.
Yeah.
Did you see that China's pushing Tencent, 40% stakeholder in Epic, to focus less on profit? Have you seen that?
I did. There's all sorts of stuff going on. They want to ban kids from playing games. No. They want to stop. Okay. They want to limit how many hours a kid can watch or play video games in a week. That's happening. And then the other thing they just announced is they have stopped approving new game. They have to approve every game that gets made. They've stopped approving games at the moment.
Right.
So everything's in a really weird place right now. Yeah. It's funky.
So that prompted me to put a post in the Reddit, by the way. We have a Reddit group. It's boopshow.reddit.com.
That's true.
I asked everybody to share their favorite wholesome, cozy indie game that China won't kibosh.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That can play 2 hours a day.
Spiritfarer or something.
Spiritfarer.
I do know this. That sound you hear is billions of Chinese children learning how to FTP and or not FTP. what's it called?
VPN.
VPN. They're all learning how to VPN right now.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Anytime, if there's anything we've learned in this country, if you want to have a rise in organized crime, just ban something.
Yeah, ban
just
something.
Go ahead and take that alcohol off the list of approved items and just see how crime
See how that goes
up.
For you. Yeah, I'm sure it'll all slow down for you and all your problems will go away. I'm sure that's exactly how this will go. Good luck to China on their, I think, feeble attempt to do this. That's gonna do it for your emails. Good stuff all
around.
That was good.
Everybody. Thank you. That was Richard. Rich.
It was Richard.
Yeah.
Richard, you're great. No one should call you Dick. They should only call you Richard.
No.
That's your real name.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. And quick note, next week, Brian will be doing Son of Crimson, or Flynn, Son of Crimson. I'll be doing, yes, I think I'm doing Wrath of the Righteous, which is the new Pathfinder game. I just need to get some more time in it.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that.
Loving it so far.
I'm very interested in this.
It's very good. A successful Kickstarter, finally out, and a lot better than the last Pathfinder CRPG. So if you want to hear how that thing is, I'll have some more time with it. We'll talk about it next week. It's very cool so far. That's it. Frogpants.com/BOOP. is our website. You're encouraged to go there and, I don't know, get whatever you need. It's all there for the taking, so just go over there. It's fine. You can send us your emails, boopshow@gmail.com. And, of course, give us a follow for our Twitch accounts. You can find me over at Frog Pants. Brian's at Brian Dunaway. And follow the show at Boop Show. You can also find Brian at The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. And you can find me at Scott Johnson. That's going to do it. Brian, anything else you want to end with, say, do, anything?
Yes. Thursday night's Graveyard Keeper, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right before the Core show. Check us out.
Yeah, good lead-in.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, good lead-in for Core. So do that. Yes. Thursday night, check it out. That is going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here, for listening, and for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.
Oh, I forgot to do. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.